but I'm a very kind man, able to teach. Oh, I'm that patient. Yes, I am. When wrong, very patient when wrong. Ministries were snatched from me and taken from me. You know, I was thinking about this when we were thinking about house churching. I thought all the way back to that building that I had sold, that I didn't sell, but I had spoken to the congregation saying that we need a larger building. Should have kept that. It was paid for. I probably wouldn't have been the pastor there now, because if, you know, when sinners want to get rid of you, they're going to get rid of you. And the building wasn't in my name. I understand, you know, no, I don't. I don't understand why a pastor would build a church and keep the church in his name to keep people in that facility for the rest of their lives and for him to just collect money from them. That makes no sense to me at all. None. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not working this summer. I am not working this summer, and very small house church, and I got to pay bills, and God is always making a way for me to do that as I remain faithful. You know what? I like the scripture that says, listen to me, Bible teacher. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So when you see these pimped out preachers begging you for money, threatening you with hell and everything else if you don't help their lives, you know somebody's lying. Somebody is lying. So we understand that Satan is referred to as a person in both the Old and New Testament. In Job chapter 1, I love those scriptures when the angels of God came around the throne of God, and it said that Satan came also. So we understand that he is a person that comes in the presence. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 12, when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, Satan came to him in the wilderness. Jesus knew who it was. That's why he said, you shouldn't tempt the Lord your God. Jesus knew that he was God. And don't get tweaked up like these silly Jehovah Witnesses believing that Jesus is the half-brother of Lucifer. Well, they're cult members anyhow, so what do you expect out of them? Satan possesses the moral responsibility typical of a personality. If you were just something in one's mind, you know, something in your imagination floating around in your head, well, he would not be held responsible for the actions that we ascribe to him. So he's more than just a figment of my imagination. You know, the way, who was it, Smokey? It's just my imagination running away with me. No, that was the Temptations. No, he's real. He's real. He is also accountable to the Lord. See, even though he is that entity, he doesn't have complete autonomy to do whatever he wants to do. He is accountable to God, to our Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Jesus is speaking, and he says, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, into eternal fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, not only is Jesus saying in this verse, I don't know what's the matter with Joel Osteen and the rest of these little punks that call themselves pastors. It's ridiculous. Yeah, I call him a punk. A little sissified, effeminate thing. Sweet thing. Want to be sweet thing. He look as sweet as his wife does. I'm just giving it to you in the real and in the raw. That is not the way the man of God looks. You ain't never seen a prophet of God looking like Joel Osteen or Fred Price. Please help me. Never. They look a little bit like me, halfway out of my mind, not dressing in the latest clothes. Let me leave him alone. Well, let me read this verse. Jesus said, then he said to those on his left, depart from me, cursed ones, those are individuals, into eternal fire. There is where hell is taught in the Bible, which has been prepared. In other words, there was a time when it wasn't prepared. Now it is prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, yes. He is accountable to the Lord. First, he's going to cast the devil and all those other angelic creatures that followed him. Because if you read the Bible, I know you won't believe it. And I can't define it for you in its full context because I do not understand it. But he said that it was war in heaven, a war taking place in heaven. And since this war took place in heaven, Satan and his cohorts, his myriads of angels, were cast down to this earth. That is why a demon can attack you and can attack me at the same time. No, Satan isn't like God where he's omnipresent, but there's enough demons on this planet to keep all of us hopping for a good minute. So don't get this twisted. Now, what we've done is we've described him as an angel. And now what we have to do is we have to describe him in his nature. Because a lot of people really don't understand the nature of Satan. And I'm going to have to take you here. I think I've done one webcast like this before, a while back. But I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Go there with me. And I believe the proper verse to start would be verse 11. Double prophecy in the book of Ezekiel. Yes, Ezekiel the prophet is giving a lamentation against the king of Tyre, but it is also giving the nature of Satan, describing Satan. This is his resume, so to say. In other words, if Satan would give you a resume, this is the way it would sound. And again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, writes Ezekiel, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God." Now, it's a double meaning of the text here. I won't get too deep into that, but in a few places in the Bible, more specifically in the Old Testament, you find this kind of language. Verse 12 says, "You had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." Remember, I said to you that Satan is not an ugly beast that you don't want to look at. You want to look at him. Then he says, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." And he names them: the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, the jasper, the lapis, the lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workman of your settings and sockets was in you on the day that you were created. Now look at this. Then he says, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." See, now we know that king of Tyre was not an anointed cherub. And so who is he speaking about? He's talking about Satan. And look at that. "And I placed you there." In other words, God is the one that made this. See, some of you are saying that you can't believe in Christianity or God or anything like that, because why would God create a horrific creature that's beautiful like that to deceive people? Well, who did you put in the White House a few months ago? Barack is a beautiful black man, isn't he? You put him in there. Don't you love to hear him talk all that stuff? You better look at the secret language, the sign language that he's putting out. He's really letting you know what he think about you. Oh, man, look at this. Let's continue to look at this. All right? And he says, verse 14, "You are the anointed cherub who covers, and I place you there. You were in the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in all your ways from the day that you were created until unrighteousness was found in you. Then he goes on and he says, by the abundance of your trade, you are internally filled with violence and you sin. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. See? Lucifer is a beautiful angel. But his heart was lifted. And, you know, some of us are like that. That's what I see in these churches. Ooh, look at our church. Look what we have. I recall when I studied under James Billy Stanley and I became a Christian and went to the church. There was no crosses, no paintings on the wall, no images, nothing of beauty, just a plain wall, a seat, and a wooden lectern. And whenever we would go visiting other Baptist churches in the city, they would have these pictures of Jesus. And in every church, they had a different idea about how he looked. I used to ask my pastor, why don't we have any pictures in here when I was a young Christian? And he says, because he didn't have cameras and nobody knows how he looks. And he said, but he definitely didn't look like these pictures that these people are painting. And then he says, don't. And then he took me to John chapter 4, where Jesus told the woman at the well that the Father seeks those to worship him in spirit and in truth. See, when I worship Jesus, I'm not worshiping an image. I tell my white friends, you know, I don't see a white Messiah or a black one when I worship the Lord. I don't see that at all. And I think that those are very good points. But you can read the rest of this Ezekiel text all the way down to verse 19, and it'll give you a profound description of this beast. Though he is a mighty being, he has creaturely limitations. In other words, as a creature, he is accountable to his creator. God created Satan and allows him to wreak havoc. The joy is that we don't suffer under the beguilement of Satan's intentions. It's unfortunate if you do, but we are not supposed to. Now, there's a trash truck coming down the street, isn't there? All right, that's better. I have to let the truck pass, you know. My studio's not soundproofed. Unfortunately, I have another scripture that I'd like to read. Jude, verse 9. Just go there with me. Jude is that very small book right before you come to the last book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. And it only has one chapter. So when I say Jude and 9, I'm to let you know that he is the highest created being. And this is how you can know it. What do you mean? Well, of course, Jesus wasn't created, so Jesus is not a created being. Jesus never had a beginning, and he'll never have an ending. We know that because Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. I'm the first and the last. But of all the beings that were ever created in any universe, in any atmosphere, the solar system, under the water, above the waters, the highest created being was Lucifer, or Satan. Look at Jude in verse 9. Verse 9 says, but Michael, the archangel. Now, you know, since Michael was an archangel, a lot of people say, well, what was Lucifer? Lucifer was an archangel and higher. He was the man, if you want to put it that way. Now, verse 9 says, but Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses. Now, once you look at that verse and you say, well, where did all of this take place at? Well, I don't know. And it says, look here at Michael the archangel. Did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment. In other words, Michael the archangel, when he was disputing with Satan, over the body of Moses, didn't even try to prevail over him with the language, whatever language angels talk, probably not in tongues like TBN says. But I like what Michael said. Michael said, "The Lord rebuke you." Now, this proves that as a created being, God is not a created being because he's the first cause of everything. Because if you have God that was created, well, then who created him? And how could he be God if there was one before him to create him? See, that doesn't make any sense. But I know a lot of you folk that go to some of these churches will tell me, well, what you just said to me doesn't make any sense. Of course it doesn't. You don't have faith to believe. You don't believe this. You can't intellectually understand the Bible. You can't just say, okay, I accept that to be. I ask Christians all the time when I'm in meetings with them. I said, how was Jesus able to walk on water when he was with his disciples? Easiest answer in the world. He suspended gravity. Yes. Now, have you ever done that? Of course not. Do you know any other human being that ever suspended gravity and other people saw it? I'm not talking about a magic trick. Because you want to see a magic trick, you go to church every Sunday. Them tricks are playing you for the magic money. But that's another story altogether. I don't even know why some of you feel guilty when you go to the church house and you can't pay your tithes that week. Well, why don't you live off of them that whole month? That would make a lot of sense to me. Yeah, I know it would. Oh, listen, let me get out of here. I would like you to listen to the commentary tonight. Mark Ramsey, Bob Klink, and I will sit down and have another webcast. This one was just to let you know that I'm still around here doing what I usually do. I just had about an extra hour or so. So I wanted to put this together, put it up on the website. I want you to look at the three clips. I'm going to leave them up till the end of the week. Then I'm going to put up the famous P.K. McCary face down when a woman, oh, well, we'll handle that once it comes up on it. You only think that you've seen and heard everything. This is Pastor John thanking you for coming to my website. Seriously. And asking you to stay abreast with the YouTube clips. Stay abreast with those YouTube clips. There's some really, really some good teaching. And as I go through this, oh, wonderful. I have all these pages of, I couldn't have gone through this study if I tried to. Anyhow, God bless you. And whatever you do, stay in the Word. Yes, Jesus loves me.